Hello, and welcome to A Year on the Farm. I am your host, Kimberly Allen. Join me as I share my small farm journey on Vancouver Island and connect with other female farmers about how to grow beautiful food, manage a farm, and feed our communities. Hello, and welcome to A Year on the Farm. I am truly delighted to bring this conversation to you today. I had a chance to interview Mariette Sloiter of Whitaker Farm. Whitaker Farm is well known for their CSA program, and so I wanted to ask Mariette all about it. Mariette and her partner Brian own Whitaker Farm, a 26-acre farm in the Comox Valley on Vancouver Island in BC. They have been farming there since 2014 and acknowledge that they are privileged to farm on the unceded territory of the Comox First Nation. They believe in building a sustainable food system and ensuring soil health for generations to come. They use organic and sustainable practices and take it a step further by ensuring their staff get a living wage. Not only do they offer a living wage, they also offer an inclusive workplace that is rooted in respect. Mariette works to ensure food is accessible to all through her relationships with local nonprofit organizations. They have been involved with community-supported agriculture as a model and a pillar of their farm business since the beginning of Whitaker Farm. Hello, Mariette.
Hello, Kimberly. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I would like to start by acknowledging that we both live and farm on the unceded territory of the Comox First Nation. And so I'm so grateful for your time today and to chat and share a little bit about what you do at Whitaker Farm. So first of all, I do have to say that I've been a customer of yours since I moved to the Comox Valley, and I've always appreciated your obviously beautiful, amazing produce, but your enthusiasm for what you're doing. And I know that you have a very successful CSA, so I would love to hear more about it. And so maybe we could start by you telling us how long you've had your CSA.
Sure. I almost want to start one step backwards, because that land acknowledgement, I just so appreciate. And I think it's so vital for us as farmers, and has actually been rooted in everything we do. When we get that privilege to work on the land, and that is obviously unceded, we also have a responsibility, and that is what fuels us on the farm, is that responsibility to our families, our communities, and to the soil. So we started here in 2014 is when we got on the land, and it was really obvious that we wanted to try and leave this land and this planet a little better than when we started. And we're in a position in this world where that's pretty challenging. And so we made choices to grow organically and sustainably. And by 2016, we were part of the Merville Organics Growers Cooperative and got involved in a CSA box program almost immediately.
Awesome. Yes. And I know Merville Organics is no longer formed as a cooperative, but the farms that were a part of that are all doing their own amazing things now.
Yeah, we're all doing CSA programs, as well as having, some of us are having market presence and definitely on-farm sales as well. And I see CSA as definitely one of those pillars of a successful farm. I think it's a really important part of my business model here on Whitaker Farm for sure.
Wonderful. So for somebody who's new to farming, or they're just starting out, or they've got a few years under their belt and are considering launching a CSA, what would you say are some of the top considerations before they start?
You know, and this is something that's been sort of niggling in my head for a while, that it's really important that we remember that CSAs are not a veg box. And what I mean by that is there are lots of services that are wholesalers buying from farms and then sending out boxes of vegetables to people. And lots of people can do that. But what CSA is, community supported agriculture, is, it is a relationship. It's a relationship between you and your customers. And I think that that needs to root all of the work that you do with your CSA, understanding that you are entering into a contract with these folks to give them the best of that which you have, and to always keep that in mind, because it's hard to keep in mind at week 16 of your endless CSA, you know, in the middle of summer, that these folks believe in you, and believed in you when you had nothing in the ground, and are there as part of an opportunity to build a food system that is sustainable and healthy. And you have this awesome opportunity and responsibility to steward food sustainability in your part of the planet, and give them the best that you can. So that means really remembering those tenets, that it's not just whatever monetary value each week, but it's the best of what you have. So if they're taking the risk with you by giving you money up front, and you may have a bad season, when you have a great season, you give them the best you have and extra. So I think that's one of those key pieces that we often forget when we're building our CSA, is that those relationships, they last not just one season, but they last forever. And that's your customer. That's your most important customer.
That's amazing. And I think that it's so evident through interacting with you at the market and your social media presence, that you infuse everything with that sense of responsibility. And I know for myself, when we started our very small CSA, that it was the relationship with the customers that is the thing I most enjoy about it. And we truly celebrate every person who subscribes.
Amazing.
My phone dings and I cheer, and we know them by name. And so it's that boost of, yay, somebody believes in what we're doing. And I love that aspect of it. But then also, like this past year, we really saw sometimes our CSA customers were getting all of what we had because things were slow or burning or what have you. And so not only did they get the best of what we were growing, but sometimes they got things that other customers never even got to access. And so that was exciting too, because every single person really appreciated it. So, I mean, I know for myself, developing that relationship and having that connection has been very, very rewarding.
And I think it's so vital that what you're talking about people getting those special little things, is also that, and it's a key piece for a new grower, is that communicating that to people, right? I don't know if you have that experience with the new, when you're writing your newsletters, but letting people know what it is they're getting and why that special is so vital.
Definitely. We email our customers weekly with what to expect in their box. It's so fun when people try something new or that they're not used to cooking with. They really appreciate sort of having their eyes open to the different varieties, and also things that maybe just aren't as easy for people to pick up locally, or they're not available to attend a farmer's market. So getting all of that in one pickup or drop off, they really, really value it. Yeah. And you know, having our community invest, you know, what I learned that was so fascinating was that every customer we gained last year had never purchased a CSA before, because we do survey our customers. And I thought, wow, like there's still so much opportunity for this. And that's really exciting.
I always say that. I think that when we, as growers, when we get concerned about market share, I mean, we are so far from food secure. And if you think about it as food security, there is so much room to grow. there is so much room to grow our customer base.
Absolutely. And so, and I think we're going to start to see people more and more making the shift to growing food for their community. And that's really why I want to talk to people who are doing this successfully, because I think there are so many places where people are shifting to wanting to live more sustainably and grow their own food, but also feel the drive to do it for others. And so I imagine you face some challenges with operating a CSA. So maybe you can share a little bit about what are some of the challenges.
I think that, the big challenge for, I suspect for any grower is stamina. Is just keeping yourself going, because it's a long growing season for us. Not everybody is as lucky, but here in the Comox Valley, we have, I think, 10 months. We maybe get 2 months off, and it's like this year, it started early with snow and we just could not do anything. So just maintaining your stamina and keeping your energy up and your enthusiasm up. I think some of the biggest issues that I have found with the CSA model, and like it's simply just the sheer exhaustion of farming. And by August, just keeping your enthusiasm for it up, because it can sometimes feel like a burden, right? Even though these folks have paid you in advance and market is paying you weekly, you kind of can lose track of that. So some of the things that we do to mitigate that, we get a lot of great feedback from our customers, and I will post that everywhere to remind us of this intimate relationship that we have with these people. I mean, I often think of it, maybe it's too graphic, but we are putting things in the ground, seeds in the ground that grow into food that people put in their stomach. I mean, that's a pretty intimate thing to do. And a lot of our agricultural models are so removed from the customer that you don't know that customer. So to stay focused on them and to stay thinking about what their needs are, and to get great feedback and cheerleading from them, it really helps sort of weather those bumps. One of the other things I do is I'm very transparent in our newsletters with our customers that, yeah, it's August. My brain isn't its best. I'm working really hard to make sure I do things correctly, but there will be mistakes. Let us know how things are going. And you know what? Our customers, because we are transparent about who we are just really supportive and are grateful for the food and the caring that goes into it.
I love that. I definitely can appreciate that. The sense of the customer has made an investment in the farm and following through on that commitment and finding ways to motivate yourself. And for me, that was always trying to find something new and fun to put in the box. surprise the customers with something was my way of kind of, you know, yes, got to keep this going. This is fun for everybody. But also, you know, we're transitioning, I think, more and more to people realizing not that it's a nice to have in terms of local food, but that this is how we need to feed ourselves. And so we had more and more customers who really were supporting us. It was also an investment in their health. And I specifically had a customer who was struggling with her health, and she said, "You have no idea what this has done for me." And it wasn't just that we had the weekly connection, but also she realized that eating, you know, such good local food was improving her health and helping her to achieve good health. And I think more and more people will start to realize that that's where we're going as it becomes apparent that the monoculture agricultural system is not, as you said, like connected to the customer in terms of what's going inside their bodies. So Of course, you and I could talk about our passion for local food for days. And but so maybe you have some tips on how to stay organized. Like, what are some best practices for keeping your CSA organized and streamlined and sort of a system that works for you?
I have a few things that are really important to me. And one thing I always say to staff and myself, because it is a reminder for me every year, is don't expect yourself to remember how to do things you only do once a year. So for me, that means, you know, maybe it's, you know, some particular vegetable that I only seed. It's a 1 year, set it and forget it. I have notes throughout my Google Drive. I write down everything. This is what I do for X, Y, and Z. And the same goes for my customer base. So I have notes on my messaging and what my initial hello email welcome, what I need to tell them so that they can get the most out of the process. So I keep that all in a file form where I can access it and remind myself to access it every year so that I don't have to reinvent the wheel every time I do it. So that's a really important one. Lists of everything. And you basically make that list when you make your first welcome email and you cut and paste it and you put it into your Google Drive and you say, here's how I say hello to people. And, you know, you change it time after time, but that's coming up for me because things like changing your products on your website, we only do this once a year, and I am not a website developer. So if I have to spend 6 hours figuring out where that damn order button / product button is, it's a waste of my time. So if I keep a list and I go, oh, website, pull it up, that's how I do it, then I'm reminded. The other thing that I think is really vital for new CSA growers is to plan, and you're planning in reverse. So to really be aware of what your limits are. So I always say, before you decide how many people to take on, plan what in peak season, how much food you can get out of the ground at that particular time in the week. So we have our CSA deliveries and pickups on Wednesdays so that on Thursday, Friday, I'm free to prepare for market. So Monday, Tuesday is all CSA. So I go, okay, how much food am I able to pull out of the ground with the staffing that I have? And what is that goal? What do I want to see? And for me, I think of it in value versus poundage, but you can think of it however you want. And I go, okay, well, I feel comfortable at that point in peak season with $1,000 worth of food coming out of the ground on that day. How much staff will I need for that? Well, then I look back at my previous year's records, because record keeping is everything for you. And you go, okay, well, last year I did $400, let's say. So, and I had one staff member to help me with that. So if I'm going to do $1,000, then I need this. If I think I can do that and have X amount of staff for X amount of money, then that's how many people I bring on for my CSA. If I decide, you know, last year was a bit much for us, we had 90 people, I was exhausted, I don't want to have more staff, we're going to do 80. This kind of planning in advance is going to set the tone for your season, allow you to hire the people you need to hire if you're hiring, allow you to have work-life balance, which I will admit I have not yet managed, but I can't stress enough how planning and writing it down will make your life so much better and help you keep your word to your customers.
That's amazing. I know that for myself, in terms of record keeping and notes, I'm a paper and pen kind of person. And so that's how I document everything. I have notebooks that take me throughout the season so I can go back to a specific week or month and have take a look at what was going on in terms of weather or harvest. And we are growing on a very small part of our farm. And so this season, how we were planning was, okay, how much can we grow without having to hire anybody?
Yeah.
And it, like, that's our goal, is that we just do this ourselves with the help of children. And then we reverse engineer that plan from that point. And where are there opportunities on the land to expand fields or do a little creative planting? And what can we do with the greenhouse to maximize that? And so then that gives us what we estimate we can do for CSA or market or what have you. And yeah, that's, you're right. Like, working back from that point is, I think, a maybe a more sustainable approach, because you're deciding on the parameters of what you're willing to do or what you can physically do. And so we don't have staff. So obviously employing seasonal labor is a whole other topic, and definitely something that a lot of small farms will do in order to manage a CSA. And it's exciting because I think I know that you have such great staff that come to you, and I've met some of them, and it's you're giving them such an amazing opportunity when they're working with you. And so I guess I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you think the future of CSAs, like, what are we looking towards? Do you see anything changing, improving, growing? How do you see the future of it?
I hope that the future of it is, I anticipate, so it's, I'm going to backtrack. I feel like every year there's sort of ebbs and flows, and we saw it particularly in 2020 when COVID arrived, and people really didn't know how they were going to get their food. And so people were jumping on the CSA bandwagon, which was great because it gave us an opportunity to show people what this could be for them. And 2021, things normalized, and there weren't as many, there wasn't as much demand. And I think that that ebb and flow is going to continue, but what will affect it, particularly up here in Canada, we're talking a lot about supply chain issues and trucks coming from the States, because we get a lot of our food from California and Mexico. I think as climate change becomes more, affects us more and affects more of the planet, I think as fuel costs rise and transportation costs rise, as we're out here on an island on the edge of Canada, we saw some real supply chain breakdowns during some flooding we had. I think that people will more and more realize that they need to secure their food. So I suspect there'll be more and more demand, and I hope that more and more of us will be able to supply to our community. I mean, it's my dream that in our small valley, I just think we're such an amazing geographical location that we could do this, is that we could see us have a real opportunity to be, to have a food system that is heavily reliant on local, local producers. Maybe that's pie in the sky, but it's certainly what I see coming with all of these different variables, that the demand will be greater. And people, once they realize, because the challenge, I think, for a lot of customers is that they don't get free choice. They don't get strawberries, peas, peaches, and head lettuce every week. That they sometimes have to get a kohlrabi, and they may or may not like that, but 9 times out of 10 they do. And so for some people, not having the same five vegetables every week is unpleasant, because they're used to this always available supply chain. And I suspect that people will, as there's less in the grocery stores, turn to CSA as a model for securing their food, and hopefully learn that it's also part of securing a future. And as you said, not just their own personal health, but the health of the planet.
Wow.
So that might be wishful thinking, but that's what I think.
I don't think so. And I think if we are looking specifically at opportunities that farmers and people looking to go into farming can hopefully take away from this, is that there is really truly a lot of opportunity, and there are creative ways to solve the accessibility. And I'm going to be speaking to other farmers who are engaged in those, you know, leasing land and young agrarians. And but that's, to me, what's exciting about this moment in time, is that there is a tremendous amount of opportunity. And so I think that anybody who's considering a CSA or growing their CSA program, they can rest assured that there are people who need your food and want your food. And you know, Mariette, you're such an excellent example of somebody who's championed that for our community. So I just want to say thank you for your time. You have so much experience and knowledge to share. You have always been so supportive of new and young farmers in the Comox Valley. And I hope you feel that the passion and work that you have put into this is really rippling beyond Whitaker Farm.
That's really sweet. Thank you so much.
Of course. So listeners, you can find out more about Mariette and the beautiful Whitaker Farm in Merville, BC. And that will all be posted in our show notes. And Mariette, I just want to thank you for your time today. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been very fun chatting. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to A Year on the Farm today. Don't forget, new episodes arrive every Tuesday anywhere that you listen to podcasts. You can also connect with our community on Instagram at A Year on the Farm, and visit our website at gatherfarmandkitchen.com to learn more about our farm and to sign up for our email newsletter. Please remember, beautiful food is in your future.